Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Be seated, church. Many of you are probably thinking, well, that was only two songs, and we prayed, and Luke's on stage. What's going on? You thinking about that? Later on in the service, we're going to have a special time of worship for us as a church to bring forth our gift towards the light of the way. So today's service is going to be structured a little bit differently. As Pastor Keaton said, today's theme is on adoration, adoring God, adoring Him. How many of us really use that word adore much in our daily lives? Did anybody use that word much? Maybe yesterday, last night, you were thinking, I adore the Razorbacks today, right? Finally, I can say that. But we just don't use the word adore much. Maybe we're more apt to use the word adorable. When's the last time you used that, mamas, right? You look so adorable. What are some things that we think are adorable? What are some things that we adore? When my mind thinks about adorable or adoration, think about that new little baby, right? The new little baby or a new puppy. That's big in my house, puppies. We think about all those things that are cute and little, right? Those are adorable things. Well, I'll tell you what, when I think about adoration, adoring, I think about my grandma. Anybody have a grandma that just adored you? Anybody? My grandmother adored me. You know how I know she adored me? Anybody remember back in the day? You may still do it, and if that's you, I'm going to give you a high five later. Anybody remember sugar toast? Anybody know what that is? Some of you are like, no, I don't know what that is, Lou. Yeah, still eat sugar toast. Give you a high five later. Sugar toast is a big thing in my grandmother's house. You know, she would give me a little bit of toast with all the sugar. Anybody can relate? Like, I knew my grandmother adored me because of what she did for me. Right, I knew that she adored me by the way that she served me. And it was really, really obvious that my grandmother adored me. But what about when it comes to adoring Christ? What about when it comes to adoring God? This week when we were putting this message together, I walked into Keaton's office and I said, hey man, can we sing O Come All Ye Faithful? He said, nah, not yet. But in that song, right, we sing about coming to adore Christ, coming to adore God, coming to adore all that He has done. But what does that actually mean to adore Christ? Well, you see, Pastor Luke, you talked about adoring, you talked about adorable, you talked about little cute things. Like, are we supposed to treat God as adorable? Like, if we swoon over things that are adorable, is that really how we're supposed to treat God? Like, what does it mean when we sing about adoring Christ, when we sing about adoring God? Like, what does that mean for a believer? Because all the guys in the room were like, man, I don't really adore anything. Maybe my wife sometimes, and I struggle with that. Like, what is adoring? What am I supposed to do? Help me, Pastor, when it comes to this adoring Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What is it to adore Christ? When I think of someone in Scripture that really adored God, I'm talking was just obsessed with God Almighty, my mind goes to King David. When King David wrote the Psalms, it was a book full of adoration. And if you really, if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. It won't be on the screen, but if you really want to read someone's adoration of God Almighty, I want you to go to Psalm 95 through 100. Psalm 95 through 100, and really all of it, all of Psalms is just adoration. It's worship. So in Scripture, we don't really read the word adore. We don't really read the word adoration. You see, that Hebrew word for adoration is always translated in our English language as worship. It's translated as worship. So when we're talking about adoration, when we're talking about adoring, we're talking about worshiping God. So what I want to do is I've taken some snippets from Psalm 95 all the way to Psalm 100, and we're going to read how King David expressed, guys, his adoration, how he expressed his worship towards God Almighty. Psalm 95, it'll be on the screen. Psalm 95, 6 and the first part of 7. It says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care." Turn to Psalm 96. We're going to read 2 through 4. "Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves." Any amens in the room? "Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Are you starting to see a picture of David's adoration? His worship. Psalm 98, 1 through 6. "Sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown His saving power. The Lord has announced His victory and has revealed His righteousness to every nation. He has remembered His promise to love and to be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and the melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King." Listen, church, I could go on and on and on in Scripture, specifically in the Psalms, of King David expressing his adoration, his worship to the Lord. He was a man who adored the Lord, and he was trying his best, if you were to read all of these, to express his adoration, his love, his worship to God, because church, guess what? He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our praise. And what I love about King David is that he was trying his very best to write down how his heart felt. And if you were to read all of his adoration, all of his worship, it kind of sounds crazy. He was like, you need to sing for Him. You need to dance for Him. You need to shout for Him. You need to give everything you have for Him. What David was trying to convey to us about his worship is he was saying, I'm going to give everything that I have to Him in worship. That was what David was saying. That's the reason if you read this, it was like, man, are you sure you know what you're talking about? Like it sounds crazy. And I love that about him. He was obsessed with God, and he was trying to write down all of his feelings of adoration. But when we read about King David, when we read about the worship in the Psalms, I want us to be careful of something. I want us to be careful when we read about King David, about his worship and his adoration. We read the Psalms in church. There's some very famous passages in there about worship. And here's what we're quick to do. We're quick to look at the Psalms about adoration And this is no offense to anything done with musical instruments. We dumb down that worship just to song. You're like, Luke, you just hurt Keaton's feelings. No, no, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. When we read this, we think, oh, because adoration is translated as worship, we think, well, I demonstrate my adoration by singing loud. I demonstrate my adoration by praising. Listen, church, if that's the way we treat adoration, if that's the way that we treat worship, then what we are saying is that my worship, my adoration of God the Father is dumbed down to about 20 minutes once a week. And that is not adoration, that is not worship at all. But hang on, Pastor, I turn on Christian radio on my way to work. Well, add what? About 2 hours throughout the week of worship and adoration? Is that what we mean when we mean worship? Is that what we mean when we say, I want to adore Christ? If that is what adoration is limited to, that's not worship at all. What we've got to understand when we read David's words, when we read portions of Scripture that's talking about singing and praising and dancing and giving, it's all about a life of worship. David is not talking about a moment reserved for Sunday morning church. He's talking about, I'm so infatuated with God Almighty that I can't even write my emotions and my feelings down enough to make sense. It's just, I want to give everything I have to Him, including my life. That's adoration. Like, that's worship. So if you're a person this morning, you're struggling, like, what does it mean to adore? Like, really, around Christmas time, we sing those songs, and my mind just goes to this baby in a manger, and I struggle with that. I struggle with how to adore, and man, today's theme is we need to adore God. Like, I just struggle with that. What does that mean? It's so much more than singing loud, but it must be included. Singing, praising, shouting, absolutely. We need to look crazy, church, in our adoration of God Almighty. That's what Paul says. Call me crazy. That's fine. I'm in love with the Lord. That's adoration. David is saying we must do something. And then Jesus tells us that we should worship, we should adore Him in spirit and in truth. The simplest way to break that verse down is so complex, and we'll make it super simple. When Jesus says to worship Him in spirit and in truth, you know what He's saying? Worship me with your life. Worship me with all of you. Worship me with every fiber of your being. Y'all remember when we talked just a few weeks ago about giving our lives as a living and holy sacrifice? That's worship. That's adoration. When we give our complete lives to Christ, that's adoring, church. That's worshiping. So I want to pose a simple question for us today. If worshiping is so much more, if adoration is so much more than just singing, and it is my life, it's going to be on the screen. Do I adore Jesus? Do I adore Him? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about your level of adoration to Christ and what He's done? Maybe we struggle because we don't think about that word all that much. Like, yeah, Pastor, like, I love Him. I love Him with all my heart because He saved me. That's great. I believe in Him. I believe in what He did on the cross. Absolutely. I sing for Him. Awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. But do you live for Him? Like, do you live for Him? That's adoration, church. Anybody can come in here and sing loud. There are a lot of people that sing loud for King Jesus. There are a lot of people that shout His name. There are a lot of people that offer Him praise. But where things get difficult, where the road gets narrow, is for those that give their lives for Him. That's adoration. That's worship. Are you going to give your life for Christ? He says, offer it up as a living sacrifice. Is Jesus our first love? You understand that the Bible, that God, is very serious about our love and our affection and our adoration of Him, so much so that He includes it at the very top of the Ten Commandments. There will be no other gods before me. Like, He's jealous of your affections. He's jealous of your love. He's jealous, hear me out, of your adoration. So much so, if you remember last week, we looked at the book of Revelation when Jesus was giving that account to the churches. Y'all remember that? Like, when He was writing to the seven churches, and He was like, some of you aren't doing all that great, but two of you are doing a pretty decent job. Well, one of the churches that wasn't doing all that great was the church at Ephesus. And do you remember his response to them? His correction of them? He's saying, you have forgotten, y'all remember this? You have forgotten your first love. That's what He tells the church at Ephesus. Like, you've abandoned your first love. You've abandoned your adoration. You've abandoned your worship. Like, I'm not your first love anymore, is what He tells them. Can you imagine being in front of Him one day and He says that to you? I'm not your first love, Luke. At one point, I was, but not now. Can you imagine? So the church of Ephesus, he corrects them and he says, you've abandoned your first love. Who's the first love supposed to be, church? Christ Jesus. Do you adore Him? Do you worship Him? Is He the focus of your life? So who's your first love? Well, Pastor, we understand that adoration and worship's important. How do I do this? It won't be on the screen, but I want you to remember what I'm about to say. Worship and adoration is just loving the Lord with all your heart, right? That's the greatest commandment. Love Him and love your neighbor. Loving Him. I want you to hang on to this. When love transforms from a feeling to a reality, is that making sense so far? Like when love transforms from just a feeling to an actual reality is when love moves and acts and does. Like that's when it becomes a reality. So many people say they love Him. So many people may even sing that they love Him. But you see, my grandmother didn't just tell me that she adored me. I could tell that my grandmother adored me by what she did for me. So when we're going to say and we're going to sing and we're going to shout and we're going to proclaim that I adore Christ, it's so much more than what we say or what we sing. It's all about what we do. That's how we show Christ that we adore Him. We give Him our life. Jesus wants our life. When the love for Him becomes more than just a feeling, thanks Jesus for saving me, to reality is when we do something for Him. There's a man in Scripture, so we've looked at the Old Testament, David adored God Almighty, and there's a man in the New Testament we all know, his name is Paul. I believe that Paul adored Christ. Do you believe that Paul adored Christ? I really do. Like, he wrote a lot of books. Many of what you the passages that you have on your car or the coffee mug or on your mirror in the morning, it's Paul and his inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Like, he loved the Lord. And so what we see in Paul, I'm gonna flip this a little bit for us. So we looked at David, his writings on adoration and singing and praising, but let's look at what Paul did in demonstration of his adoration. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Perhaps you know this passage of Scripture very well, but I want us to read it, church. Like, I want us to read it through a different set of lenses with a different perspective, that perspective being adoration. And what Paul did to demonstrate how much that he adored, because remember, anyone can say it, but not everyone can do it. Anyone can say it, but what we will see here is Paul actually adoring Christ by what he did. We're going to read 20 through 25. I love this group of passages. Paul says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, And I trust that my life, there's the life, will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ. Anybody relate to that? Which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, y'all hanging on? But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. He adored Christ. You might be thinking, Pastor, how are we getting adoration from Philippians 1, 20 through 25? I hope you caught it. I hope you caught what Paul was saying. Do you see the tension that he's living in? Do you see the tension? The amount of love, the amount of adoration that he had for Christ Jesus. He was to say, living? Awesome. That means I get to live for him. Dying? Awesome. That means I get to go be with him. Do you see the tension? That's adoration. Can we say the same? Can we say the same? That I'm so in love with Christ that every breath that I take, that I'm given here on earth, is for his honor and his glory in my adoration. Like I get to live for him. Or do you wake up in the morning with dread? Do you wake up in the morning and go, here's another day. Maybe I can make it through. Maybe I can get home. Maybe I can eat some dinner, prop my feet up, watch some football. Is that how we spend our day? Paul was saying, give me another day, Lord Jesus, because I get to honor you with it. But if you don't give me another day, Lord Jesus, that's all right. Because when you take me, I get to be with you in heaven. That's adoration, church. It's adoration. But see what he does. He goes a step further. You see, he's writing to the Philippian church. And he's talking about this tension. He was like, you know what? My time is coming. My body's beaten, it's worn down, it's broken, I'm tired. But I'm going to fight to stay alive. Because if I'm alive, I can benefit you. Man, what adoration. For him to say, God, if you leave me here. Actually, God, I want you to leave me here. I could go be with you, which would be awesome, which would be better. But if you leave me here, in my adoration, in my love for you, in my worship of you, I can benefit someone else. That's adoration, church. That's Paul going, Christ, here is my life. That's worship. That's worship. He worshiped him so much that he says, Philippian church, it's going to be for your benefit if I'm alive. It's going to be for your benefit that I stay here to help you. So here's another question that we're going to pose this morning to help you measure your adoration of Christ Jesus. Are you ready for this question? I want you to write it down. Whose walk with Christ is better because of your impact? Whose walk with Christ is better because you're in it? Well, Pastor, are you asking me to be a little prideful? No, I'm asking you to judge your level of adoration. There's a big difference. You see, Paul says, for your sakes, it's better that I'm here. Because if I'm here, I can help you look more like Christ. Because I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give up my life in adoration, in worship of Christ Jesus for your benefit. So hear me out, church. Absolutely, we sing loud. Absolutely, we shout. Absolutely, we dance. Absolutely, we look like crazy people in adoration and worship of God Almighty. But do we give Him our lives in service to others? That's real adoration. That's when that love, that's when that feeling becomes a reality, when it's acted upon. So it's a tough question, and I know that. I know that. Because maybe when you're staring at that question, you have this thought in your mind, well, I hope someone... Are you feeling that way? Don't raise your hand. I hope someone's life, their walk with Christ is better because I'm a part of it. I hope, Lord. Or is it with confidence and knowledge that, yes, I adore Him to such a level that people are impacted by my walk with Christ, by my adoration, by my service to other people? You see, Paul wasn't arrogant here. Paul is so far from arrogant. Paul knew. He was the guy that said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you remember that? He was confident in his love and his adoration. So much so, he said, do what I do. So for him to tell the Philippian people, it's better for you that I'm alive, it's for your benefit, that's adoration and that's worship. So I want you to think on that question. I want you to think on the question. And if you're having trouble answering it, I want to encourage you. Can I encourage you? If you're having trouble answering that question, here's how I can encourage you. Sing to the Lord Jesus. Like really sing to Him. Worship Him. Sing loud. If only there was a microphone in my truck, right? Anybody relate? If only there was a microphone in there, but for your benefit, there's not. Sing loud for Him. I mean it. Like sing to King Jesus. Praise His name. Thank Him for what He's done. I'm talking really thank Him. Praise Him. Adore Him. Worship Him. But give your life in service to Him. That's when the feeling becomes a reality. When you give your life in worship and adoration of Christ Jesus, this question of whose life is better because I'm a part of it becomes easy to answer. And for those in the room that are struggling to answer the question, make your family number one. And then watch what He does there. And then watch what He does with friendships. Watch what He does with your workplace. Watch what He does with school. Watch what He does with your circle. When you adore Him, when you worship Him, when you give your life to Him. So you see, church, adoring is so much more than one Christmas song. Adoring Him is so much more than just singing. Adoring Him is so much more than just praising. It is your life. So may we be found faithful, giving Him our life. Let me pray for you. God, we love You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for this theme of adoration. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to come before You, to worship You, to adore You in songs and in praise and in preaching, in the reading of Your word. But God, may we take it a step further, just as Paul, and say, for Your sakes, I'm going to stay alive because it's for Your benefit. That our lives would be offered up to You in such a form of adoration that we are helping people follow Jesus. That we are a discipling people. That You use us to bring others to Christ. Let us offer up our lives in worship. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. And we ask everything in His precious name. Amen.